Tonight is Monday night, June 4th. It's Gemara Shir, Masechah Sukkah. We're up to the Tesvav, Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. On the bottom of that Tesvav, Amud Aleph, the Mishnah towards the bottom of the page. Hamikare sukasal bishbudin. Somebody frames his sukkah with a metal spit, over aruchos hamita, or with bedposts. What he did was not that he used the spit or bedposts as schach, but as many people do when you put up schach. You have to have something to serve as a support for the schach. So what he used was these metal spits or part of the beds as the support, and he put schach, regular kosher schach, as well. Says the Mishnah, Im yesh revach beinehen kimosan kshera. If there is a blank space between each spit, where the blank space is at least as wide as the spit itself, then you are guaranteed to have at least 50% of this sukkah with kosher schach. And you will not So that's what the Mishnah says. That if there is at least as much blank space between each of the support beams are not acceptable as chach because they're made out of metal. Or they're mekabel tuma because they served as a kli as a bedpost. So if there is not going to be as much airspace as there is the width of each support beam, then you're going to have less than 50% of schach. But if you at least have every single beam with an equivalent corresponding gap that's at least as wide, you now know that you have at least 50% of the sukkah, which is kosher, and that's what is all that is required. Halacha number two has nothing to do with halacha number one. Hachoteit begodish la'asos lo sukkah, eino sukkah. Somebody has a haystack. And all he did was dig out a space in this haystack to create a blank space of Zion al Zion. So what you're left with then is like a teepee-like type of shape, and he carved it out in such a fashion that you can actually see walls, and the straw that was there initially is the schach. Now straw is perfectly kosher as schach, the straw is perfectly kosher as walls. The problem is that in this particular case, the schach was not put on as schach. The schach was there as part of the bale of hay. So that's the classic case illustrating the rule of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. That you have to make chagas sukkos ta'aseh and not that the sukkah simply comes about automatically, the sichuch comes about automatically. And we've seen plenty of discussion about this particular halacha. And tonight we're going to focus on the first halacha that the Gemara quotes, the Mishnah quotes. So now let's read the Gemara. Lema teheve tiyufta derabhuna berei derab Yeshua. Let us suggest that our Mishnah serves as a question against Rabhuna berei derab Yeshua. The Itmar, because we learned, Parut Ke'omed, Rav Papa Omar Mutar, V'Rav Huna Bereit Rav Yeshua Omar Asur. This particular machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Papa is nothing to do with Sukkah. It has to do with creating walls for Hilchos Shabbos purposes. A wall for Hilchos Shabbos purposes need not be completely solid. If I put up poles, and each pole is within 3 tefachim of the next one, that's a perfect sukkah, despite the fact that's a perfect wall to create a Rishus HaYachid, because halachically we consider it as if it's a solid wall. That's correct, because of Lavud. So if I am putting up a wall, putting up walls to create a Rishus HaYachid, so I put up pole number one, pole number two is within 3 tefachim of the other, pole number three is within 3 tefachim of the other. Even though the poles themselves are incredibly narrow, and they have very little width, nonetheless, this wall will be considered a wall, despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of space, paruts, the open part, exceeds greatly the closed part. Why? Because each pole, let's say, is 1 tefach wide. Now, I have 2 tefachim of empty space. As long as I have a drop less than 2 tefachim of empty space, the next pole is within 3 tefachim of the other one. Under those circumstances, it's considered as if it's all attached, as if it's a solid wall, and there are no problems whatsoever. The case which is being debated is a situation where the poles which I put up are exactly 3 tefachim and above, at least 3 tefachim apart. So the halacha of Lavud cannot apply. You cannot create the impression as if pole number one and pole number two are contiguous to one another, because the halacha of Lavud as a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim only applies when it's within 3 tefachim. If it's more than 3 tefachim, that little trick doesn't work. Therefore, what's happening here is as follows. We now have to make a determination as to whether or not we can create a halachically designed wall, is how much of this side was covered, was enclosed, and how much is open. The open is called parutz, the enclosed is called omed. So everybody says that if you have more parutz than omed, everybody says that this is not considered a mechitza. So if the walls are so thin, and they are 3 tefachim apart, so that you will now measure, and the gap, the airspace, the open space, exceeds the collective width of each of the poles, everyone agrees that such a wall is not considered a mechitza. We'll soon see whether everyone is talking about an adoraisa or a derabbanan level. We're going to learn plain as even at the Raisa level now. If the Omeid is Meruba ala Parutz, if despite the fact that there are gaps, the enclosures exceed the gaps, less man the Pollock that it's considered a Mechitza. Everybody says that this is a wall. The only debate, which is our Gemara, which is a machloikis between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, is that it's exactly 50-50. The gaps are exactly equal to the amount of space that is covered by each of the slats. So according to Rav Papa, Parutz ke'omed is mutar. Mutar means that you're allowed to carry within it. If you're allowed to carry within it, because it's halachically considered a mechitza. So if you put up four of these, you now have a rishus hayachid, and you're allowed to carry inside. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua amar asur. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua says that no, you're not allowed to carry in this configuration, because in order to create a mechitza, you need more than exactly 50%. You need 50.001. 50% is not going to do it. Therefore, this particular Mishnah, which we learned, seems to be against Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna said that if you have something which is exactly 50% closed, some total, 50% open, it's not considered a mechitza. Yet, what did our Mishnah say? That when you have schach with metal poles, if the gaps between metal pole and metal pole are exactly the same as what? As the width of the metal spits, that's okay. The Mishnah says it's kshera. So 50% covered, 50% gap is considered good sukkah, good schach. Well, a 50% schach, 50% gap is good schach, there should be the same halacha in relationship to a mechitza as well. Therefore, our Mishnah must support Rav Papa's opinion and cannot accept Rav Huna b'Rav Rav Yeshua's opinion. What? Don't ask me. The Gemara is doing that. The Gemara is claiming that, well, why halakhically would you say that there are two different issues? Okay, but here, what the Gemara is doing is accepting the principle that if it's parutz, so then the Pirtza claims that there is not enough solid to create a wall. Well, if there's not enough to create a wall, and again, this has nothing to do per se, because I know I want to crystallize what you're saying. What do you really say? Say your question in halakhic lingo. Say your question in halakhic lingo.
The basis for the pizza is the halakha, is the kalot.
No, absolutely not. In this case, where there is a bait, there is no lovin, because the poles are at least three tefachim away. If the poles would be within three tefachim, there is no debate. Everybody says that the wall is a good wall. The case of the debate is only when the poles are at least three tefachim away, and you cannot rely on lovin.
If there's less than three tefachim, then even if the gap is...
For example,
it's still
partial the chol days. Why? Because once you say that the halakha of lovehood, it makes believe halakhically there's no gap.
So the lovehood only operates with it where there's less than.
Correct. But that's not we know. But the chidush is that when you apply lovehood, it's as if there's no gap. It's not just that you rely on it. There is no gap. Now I'm letting for you to exactly tell me, Shimmy, in halakhic terminology, what your question is. Your question's a good question. Why are you comparing the halakha of a wall to what's doing on the schach? Tell me why not. You just asked the question. I want you to frame your question with a halakha. Exactly. The criteria that determines kosher schach is not how much of a gap there is between one bamboo stick and the next bamboo stick. What is the normal criteria which we operate with? You need more shade than some. That's all you need. So now, all Rishayim say that if creating 50% and 50% with the metal stick, 50% open would not create this, the halachic sichuk. Namely, there would be more sun than shade. So Mishnah was today. The sukkah is possible because of another reason. So what must you claim we are talking about? That there's plenty of shade. Plenty of shade. There is more shade than sun. Nonetheless, even though there is more shade, our Gemara seems to suggest that in addition to more shade, you must have something what? Must have some minimum quantity covered with chaf. And that's the Gemara's analogy, correct? Just as this is a minimum coverage in terms of a wall, there is also a minimum coverage in terms of the chaf. But you're right. We shouldn't even point out. What's the whole discussion here? We should have just seen whether there was more shade or more sunlight. That should be the question.
What does this fit for the puzzle? The puzzle pieces. What is that considered part of? Is that part of the shade or that part of the sun?
Well, obviously, it's going to contribute to some of the shade. There's no doubt about it.
Right, but
we're going to see what happens to it. We'll see what happens in a couple of seconds. So if you have enough kosher schach, so this sukkah will be part kosher schach, part non-kosher schach. And we've seen plenty of cases like that. And what's the golden rule? If you have four tefachim of non-kosher next to one another, the sukkah is possible. But here, it was not four tefachim yet. A tefach here, a tefach there, a tefach there. That's what's going on. So that's the Gemara's question. That this particular case seems to contradict the Gemara's, this contradicts Rafun. So Rafun says, "Not this Mishnah does not contradict me at all. My Kimo son, what is the Mishnah when it says, in Yesh Revach Bene and Kimo son? Don't take it literally. It doesn't mean exactly the gap between each spit is exactly equal to the width of the spit. My Kimo son, benichnas v'yotze. Benichnas v'yotze. What does benichnas v'yotze mean? That there is enough room to what? To take the spit out and, you know, manipulate a little. So if there is enough space to manipulate the spit going in and out, that means that there is really a drop more gap than there is a pole. So once there is a drop more gap, once we fill it with kosher schach, there is a majority of kosher schach and not puzzle schach. Asks the Gemara, is a very unusual Gemara. Asks the Gemara, for her efshar litzamtzem. What do you mean that the Mishnah says, in kimosan, in yesh revach beneyam kimosan, it's what? It's talked about that it's loose enough so that you'll be able to, you know, put it in. No, this is something that is measurable. You can measure exactly, and when the Mishnah says, in yesh revach beneyam kimosan, what does it really mean? What does it really mean? Exactly. It's something that you can measure. So how do you know that the Mishnah says, in yesh revach beneyam kimosan, means that there was enough wiggle room as well? Who said there's any wiggle room? There is no wiggle room whatsoever. There is simply exactly the amount of width of the metal spit is the equivalent to what? To the gap.
Answers the Gemara. Amar Avami, b'madif.
This is the most unusual Gemara. You know what Ravami answers? Just ignore the kasha. No, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. What does ma'adif mean? There's a little more gap. There's a little more gap. If there is a little more gap, then there's no problem. when the Mishnah said, Im yesh reva feinehem kimosan, it did not mean what? Exactly. It meant there's a little more gap. Okay. So that's asking the question and then saying, what's the answer? It's only asking, got it. That's the Gemara. And all we're trying to point out is such an unusual Gemara to simply, instead of answering the question conceptually, just says, don't ask such a question.
Very strange. Rava Amar, no. Rava says no. Afilu tema b'she'en ma'adif. You can talk about, that the Mishnah is talking about exactly 50-50. And nonetheless, this will not be a contradiction to Rav Huna, who says that parutz ka'omed by a machitza is possible. Because what's it talking about? Im ha'yun sunin shesi, nosnin arev. Arev, nosnon shesi. He said, what you do is as follows. The poles, the spits, which are the support beams, run this way. So, we think that what are you supposed to do? You fill the gaps in between with kosher schach. Says Taisvis, says Rav, no, that's not the case. You know how you ran the schach? You ran it this way. Shesti v'arei means perpendicular to one another. So now, if you have a couple of spits running this way, and you fill up completely what? You fill up completely the other area going lengthwise, widthwise, depending on how the poles, the metal spits are. Then, what do you now have? You now will have a greater area of what? A kosher schach than you have the spit. And in fact, the kosher schach will now go ahead and be mevatel the spit. That's what Rashi's going to say. So it'll make no difference where in the sukkah you actually sit. You don't have to manipulate to make sure that I don't sit exactly underneath one of the spits. Why? Because if the spits are going this way, I put my bamboo spits going this way, completely all along, and that's perfectly okay.
Yes? The fact that the bamboo is resting right on the metal platform.
Okay, that's a very good question. It's a good question. We'll talk about it in a couple blocks when we get to the sugya of Mami. That's an excellent question. We shall see. We'll see. If you're mamming on something which is makabel toma, we shall see. Good. Okay. That's what the Gemara says. Now we're going to have to examine this halacha of parutz ka'omed and see how it fares up against another major sugya in Shas, which twice this in Chulin quotes our Gemara as being another example of, and of course, Tosis is difficult.
Okay.
Okay. Again, what we're going to focus on is something that is 50-50. 50-50. Parutz ka'omen. The open part of a wall is exactly equivalent to the closed part of a wall. Okay. What? Makes no difference where the opening is. It's the sum total of space from one end of the wall to the other end of the wall. Now, Tosis is going to quote a Gemara in Chulin discusses the following case. That in order to shef an animal, you have to cut the simon, the veshet and the kana, the esophagus and the trachea. How much do you have to cut? You have to cut 50.001% of the veshet, and the 51st percentile of the kana. Meaning by the kana we have a halacha l'maisha nisina, the chatzi kana pogum is kasher. That if I have the kana, which is the esophagus, right? If I have the esophagus, which is already cut, it's cut up to 50%. Katsu Kama Kofri, the trachea. Trachea is the kama?
Right.
Okay, trachea. So if I have 50% of the trachea cut already, all I have to do is cut the 51st percentile. And by the Veshet, I have to cut 50.1. Now the Gemara asks, Gemara says that if I cut exactly 50%, it's no good. Exactly 50% is no good. You have to have a little more than 50%. That's what the Gemara says.
Take a look at the Taisvis.
Dikuliyama, Taisvis is bracketed on the second Taisvis on the page. Dikuliyama, Mechsa al Mechsa ino Karoa. We know that in relationship to Shechita, you don't really have to shech. You don't have to cut the entire trachea or esophagus. You have to cut the majority. But 50.0% is not considered a majority. And there is no one who disagrees. Everybody says it's got to be at least 50.00 something.
Anywhere where 50% is a majority?
What?
Is there anywhere where 50%?
We're going to see. You want to see? Asks the Tzimtzum, the Beperakama, the Eruvin, Paskinon, Kirav Papa. Our Gemara quoted the Machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna and Rav Yeshua, whether 50% enclosure constitutes a Mechitza or it does not constitute a Mechitza. And in Masechet Eruvin, we Paskin like Rav Papa, that exactly 50% coverage of a wall is considered covered. Paskinon Kirav Papa, the other Papa's Simon Mutter. So why is there a difference between a mechitza and shechita?
Mechitza operates on the principle of right?
The what?
Does it operate on the principle of right?
Well, if you're allowed to say that a wall with 50.01% is considered a wall, obviously you're looking for right. Because if you needed solid all along the way, then obviously there'd be nothing to talk about. It's obvious that we allow up to 50% open. So we are not sure if we're wrong. Because we said that if you have ruba ome, a majority covered, that's what everybody needs. So why don't you say ruba equals 50% just as you do here by, why don't you say the same thing by shechita? A shechita cuts exactly 50%. Why does everybody say that it's possible?
That the shechita is nevela. Why does everybody say that? That's Taisus's cash. So look at the second answer of Taisus. V'shema yesh l'chalek. V'shema yesh l'chalek. Now, there is another case as well. Another case as well. Taisus doesn't discuss it right here, but I'll tell you what the other case is, because he's going to bring it in. The halacha is that a utensil, a earthenware utensil, a kli cheres that becomes tamei, what is the only way to be machshir this utensil? Correct. Pasuk in the chumash. Ukli cheres yishaveh. What constitutes breaking? How much breaking is breaking? So the Gemara says you need 50.1%. But if it's exactly 50% correct, that's not enough. So Taisus again is going to ask, why is it that in relationship to a mechitza, we will say that it's okay, but by tumah and by shechita, 50% is not good? So look at Taisus. V'shema yesh l'chalek. The hacha isur v'tumma. Here, what are we talking about? Isur, namely the isur of Avram and Achai, and their tumma. The hacha linyan mechitzos. And there we're talking about walls. V'loy dami. And they're not to be compared. And what do you want to ask Taisus?
Why not?
And why not? And Taisus doesn't explain. Why not? Taisa doesn't explain why not. So the Rav explained Taisa's answer in the following one of two ways. He said as follows. When it comes to Shechita, and when it comes to Tumah, you need some kind of an action to do what? To cause a status quo. To cause a change in the status quo. The item is awesome. It's Eber Min Afar. Why not? The item is coming. So what I'm doing is I'm initiating an action to cause a change in status. Whenever you initiate an action which is designed to change a status, you need what is called rov hanira le'einayim. You need a majority that every human being can see. 50-50 is no one can see that the majority is there. You need something which is perceptible for everybody to notice. Here, what happens as you put up each mechitza? As you put up a mechitza, put up one mechitza first. Is anything happening as soon as you put up the first mechitza? Absolutely not. All you're doing is what? Making the determination about the kashrut of a mechitza. But as you create that first mechitza, there is no status change taking place as yet. So you're going to ask me, what about the third or fourth wall? Maybe. But we're going to examine first the first wall. In such a situation where the formation of the wall is not designed to create a status change by definition, under those circumstances, we allow exactly 50%. So the difference, which Tysus will perhaps acknowledge, the difference between Tumah and Shechita on the one hand, where you need 50% plus, is because as a result of your action, some change in status is taking place, first time and every time. In order to change the status from Tameh to Tah, in order to change the status from Eber and Achai to read that is Mutter, you need at least, you need more than 50%, which is called a Rov Hanira Le'einayim. A Rov that a human eye can possibly identify. With Mechitza, nothing halakhically changes with the erection of the first mechitza. Therefore, its din is not engaged in status change. Its din is focused on the item itself. Is this a mechitza or is this not a mechitza? Claims Taisus, claims Rav Papa, as long as what? The majority is not exposed, as long as the majority is not exposed, it's a mechitza. How, when you reach that a majority is not exposed, exactly 50%. Exactly 50%. That's one possible answer as to what Taisus has in mind. What Taisus has in mind. Second possibility. In relationship to Shechita, this is a famous machloikis for those who study Hilchos Shechita, a very famous machloikis, and the Ran in Tchula has weighed in on this. How do we understand the halacha of Shechita? You can look at it two ways. One is that that you have to shef over your rov. The definition of Shechita is to shef a rov. Two, no. The definition is that you have to what? Shef the whole thing. Except what halacha do we rely on? Rubo Kikulai. when you shack the majority, it's treated as if the entire thing is from God. The Ran clearly states that in relationship to Shechita, alternative number two is the correct definition. It's not that you're allowed to shack 50% of a siman and then you're allowed to eat the animal. No. The halacha is you must shack the whole sif. You must cut the whole sif. And Seth remembers this. You must remember, shack the whole sif. But there's halacha, Ruba Kikula. Ruba was Kikula. The majority is considered like all. Therefore, when it comes to such a halacha, where the halacha really is to do the whole thing, there, under those circumstances, you need more than 50%. To employ the halacha of rubo kikulo, you need a little more than 50%. But, correct. Correct. The definition of a mechitza is, according to Rav, and this is the gate of Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, just make sure that more than 50% is not open. Just make sure that more than 50% is not open. It's got nothing to do with Ruba Kikulai. Therefore, exactly 50%, according to him, is perfectly acceptable as well. Point number two. Today, Yeshua, right here on Sukkah, says something startling. And he brings us to an incredibly famous machloikis between the Rambam and the Rashba, found on the second page of the handout. On the second page of the handout. And he says as follows. The machlokes, he claims, between Rav Huna and Rav Papa concerning a wall, which is exactly 50%, is how is the halakha l'mayshe Sinai formulated? What do I mean? What's the halakha? Not halakha l'mayshe. What's the halakha? Rav Papa formulates it the way he was formulating up until now. Namely, the halakha is that in order to create a mechitza, make sure that less than 50% is exposed. Rav Huna says no. You know what the definition of a mechitza is? Make sure that what? Say it the other way. Make sure that what?
More than
half is covered. Then more than half is closed. So if it's exactly 50%, Rav Huna says, that's possible. Because I can't guarantee that more than 50% is covered. Why does Rav Huna say it's okay? Because his definition is, make sure that not more than 50% is open. So once I have 50% covered, I can make sure that 50% is not open. And therefore it's okay. Ask the Bnei Yeshua, if somebody, where it's exactly 50-50, if it would be possible to get it exact, would a person be able to make that determination whether half is covered or half is still open? Can you make that determination? Very, very difficult. So, what halacha, what's that known as, even though the Gemara just said, the Bimitzam say, what do we normally say when it comes to something so precise? What's the normal opinion? Yesha Ratzam say. We don't believe that a person is capable of coming to those kind of recognitions. It's impossible. Therefore, let me ask you this. If you're incapable of making that determination,
what halacha should you quote to me which would demand and say that Rahul is 100% correct? Assuming that it is impossible to make that determination, what additional halacha would you now say, this man is 100% right, and Rahul is 100% wrong? What halacha? Correct. Sveikah d'oraisa l'chol. Why Sveikah d'oraisa l'chol? Because I am looking at this war. It seems to me it's 50-50 on the dot. Can I reasonably make a call that what? That this is half covered? No, I can't. So what do you need in order to take you out of the suffix? What do you need to take you out of that suffix? A drop more. To be able to convince yourself that it's indeed more than 50% covered. Therefore, claims the Peshua that this Gemara and Rav Huna, who read the Rav Yehoshua's opinion, will support the Rashba's perception of a famous machloikas, the Rambam and the Rashba. Please open up to the second page of the handout, in which I have in front of you a Rambam in Perek Perek Tes of Hilchos Tumach Meis Halacha Yudbeis is graphic. Rambam makes a sweeping broad statement. Dabar Gadua, everybody knows. Shekol Eilu Hatumos, all laws of Tumah. Ukayotze Bohem, Shehen Mishun Safek, anytime you have a Safek Tumah, Harehen Shel Dibrehen. You know that the isur to conduct, or the mandate to conduct yourself as a tamei person, is only midrabban. Ve'eino tamei min hatayva elami shenitma tumat vaday. The only time that you have something which is tamei is if you're tamei b'tayvas vaday. I will call Hasfekos, Bein the Tumos, Bein the Macholos Asuros, Bein the Arayos, Vishabosos, Ein Lohem Elohim Divrei Sarek. It makes no difference. If I have something on Shabbos, and I'm not 100% sure whether it's Asur or Mutter, Midorais it's Mutter. I have an Asher Ish, and not 100% sure whether she is mutter or asur, famous case. I go over to my girlfriend and I throw her the test of kiddushin. I throw her. I throw her the ring. I don't give it to her. What's the halacha as to whether we're engaged or not? What? Correct. If it landed closer to her, we're engaged. If it landed closer to me, we're not engaged. So the Gemara raises the question, Safe Korov Law, Safe Korov Mo, I threw it exactly in between. And it's impossible to tell whether the ring fell closer to me or closer to him. So the Gemara says, I raise a Safe Mekudesh. Safe Mekudesh. We are married with Safe. That's the Rambam. Mita Oraisa, she can go marry anybody she wants. Mita Oraisa. Rabbanan say, either I go ahead and do it again, or I give her a get. One of the two. But according to Torah law, according to the Rambam, she's free to do whatever she wants. Because all Isur, all Sfeikos, says the Rambam, the rule of Sfeika, the Oraisa, the Chumra, is within the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that by all Sfeikos Midoraisa you go to Chumra, and by all Sfeikos Midorabbanan you go to Gula. But who said that? The Rabbanan. Midoraisa, everything is mutter. Where did the Rambam get this from? The Rambam believed that there is one drash
in a Gemara in Yevamos, which serves as the binyan av for every single sofer. So Gemara says in Yevamos, on the pasuk, Lo Yavo Mamzer Bikahal Hashem, that a Mamzer is not permitted to marry within Klal Yisrael, says the Gemara, Mamzer Vadai Omar Rachmana, Velo Mamzer Safek. A Safek Mamzer is allowed to get married. A Vadai Mamzer is not allowed to get married. The Rambam believes that this Gemara, which establishes that Midya Oraisa, every Safek Mamzer is allowed to get married, is now the binyanah for all saints. Midya Oraisa, every Safek is mother. It's the Rabbanah who create the problem. And the Rashba is the spokesman for all other Rishayim who disagree with the Rambam and claim that the halacha of state of the Oraisa Lechumra is a din d'oraisa. And that this halacha of Mamzer Vadai Yom HaRachman of life is a limit only to Mamzer. You have no right to extend to any place else. And in fact, look at the Raizik. Look at the Raizik right next to the Rambam. Kol Dami Adua Amar Avram Zehu Shibush Gadol. It's a very big mistake that the Rambam is making. Shaharei Omru Bekala Mekomos Sveika De Oraisa Lechomra Usveika De Rabbanan Lekula Vezu Sveika De Oraisa. And he obviously agrees with Rashba that the halakha Sveika De Oraisa is a din d'oraisa. And therefore he writes, the Rambam made a very big mistake. But the Pnei Yeshua claims that our Gemara here is weighing in on the issue, and that's the reason why Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Papa. Why does Rav Huna disagree with Rav Papa? Because if it's going to be exactly 50-50, you're never going to be able to tell. If you're never going to be able to tell, that's going to be a suffix. If it's a suffix, you have to go to Chumra. No, it's based on the Rashba's opinion. So the Pnei Yeshua claims that Rav Huna, the Rei, the Rav Yoshua, in effect, teaches us that the Rashba is 100% correct, and that this din is mamish a din da oraisa. Correct. Say, if we pass it like Rav Papa, if the Pnei Yeshua is correct, 100%. Furthermore, almost all Rishonim are of the opinion that this discussion in our Gemara between Rav Papa and Rav Huna concerning a mechitza is talking about a din d'oraisa for a wall of Hilchos Shabbos. How open can a wall of mechitza be for Hilchos Shabbos purposes on a din d'oraisa, on a d'oraisa level? Must it be 50% closed or 50.1%? The only exception is the Ravid. The Ravid is cited by the Rashba in Maseches Eruvin. If you want to check it, it's on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph in Maseches Eruvin. Both the Ran and the Rashba quote the Ravid. And the Ravid says, if anybody happen to remember this very unusual case, which we once discussed, about the Ole Regel who were coming to drink water from certain... What did they make? Patsin! Exactly. Patsin. What a patsin? Four poles. The well was in the middle of the street. These Ole Regel were traveling, and the question was, how are they going to get water on Shabbos? So they said, just put up four holes. One over there, one over there, one over there, one over here. That's the way all we showing it work. Special psychology of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan says, what the Rabbanan did was, they told you to rely on the Midya Oraisa. That Midya Oraisa, there is absolutely no requirement that a wall be filled in at all.
What do you need in order to create a wall to Hilchos Shabbos purposes on a Doraita level? A post here and a post there. Rabbanan, of course, don't allow us to what? Simply post posts. The Rabbanan says we've got to put up walls. So when it came to the Oyle Regel, claims the Rabbanan, they decided to wire it into Doraita. Therefore, claims the Rabbanan that the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Papa is only on the Rabbanan. How much of the wall has to be covered on a Rabbanan level? Rav Papa says 50% because he believes you shouldn't have 50% open, and that you can assure. Rav Huna brings out Yeshua says, no, you got 50% closed, and exactly 50 is no good. But the whole debate claims to rise in is only on a din to Rabbanan level. On a d'oraita level, a wall is a wall as soon as you have two posts. So what really is happening is what happened when the Rabbanan allowed those Ole Regel. According to all Rishonim, the Rabbanan made a special dispensation in that case. According to the right, it's not a dispensation. The Rabbanan are saying, we're just going to get rid of all of our other requirements and just rely on the din d'oraita, and that's it.
Tremendous chiddush in the right. Tremendous chiddush in the right. Yeah. And finally for tonight, please turn the page to Tesvav Amud Beis for just a moment. Tesvav Amud Beis. Take a look at Rashi B'Dibur HaMaskel Rava Omar. Rava Omar. Now Rava is the one who said that the case is talking about that you were mitzamtzein, ein ma'adif, that the gap between what and what, the gap between the two spits was exactly the equivalent of the open space. Exactly. It's not that it was the gap was a little plus, a little more than that. No, it's exact. So how are you going to be mashi to sukkah, even according to Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua? But the Rapop, of course, it's kasha. So take a look at Rashi. Afilu b'mitzamtzei. V'afilu v'im hayu nesunin hashpudin shesi. If the spets were shesi, horizontal, nosnin lekanin shoschach orei. So you put the kosher schach vertical. The al korchach im eino nosein roshe hakanim al ashpudin. If you don't at least put the tips of what? Of the schach on the metal, harehen noflin lares, there's no way for the what? For the schach to stay up there. The hilkach, as a result of this arrangement, hevelei kosher meruba al apostle. The kosher schach is in excess to the metal spits, which are pasul, umivatlan. And they simply overpower and are mivatel the spits, and those two are considered as if, so the sukkah, according to Rabbah, is what? What happens to this sukkah, Rabbah Tai? There's no kosher, there's no disqualified sukkah. You can sit any place you want. Now, Rabotai, Rashi uses a halachic term, mivatlan. Mivatlan. Here is my case, to which I'm going to illustrate a case, and you ask Tosis's kashrut. Okay? You ask Tosis's kashrut. You are cooking a soup, a vegetable soup, and a piece, small piece, cut to shish, of non-kosher meat falls in. But you can see the piece of meat right there. Are you allowed to eat the soup or not? It's more than shishim, more than 60 against the meat. Are you allowed? Why not? What? So what is lacking? There's no panuris. In order to rely on bittul, the first thing that you have to assume is that there's a taruvus. that it got mixed up. The Dover HaMutter and the Dover HaAsur are so mixed up that I can't recognize. Where is kosher meat? The non-kosher meat, where is it? Then you align it. So now let's look. So Tosis's kasha is, Tosis, Bedibur HaMatzchil, Vaha Efshar Kometzam Tzem, in the middle of the Tosis, you'll have to trust me, because Tosis, it's getting late, where Tosis, in the middle of the Tosis, Umiyu Kasha, Tosis attacks Rashi, and rightfully so. Then, what's going on here? Shiva, how can you claim that the kosher bamboo sticks, which are running perpendicular to your metal stick, is Mevatel the metal stick? You see the metal stick, it's right in front of your nose. Everybody knows that a metal stick is not a bamboo stick. How can you be mavato something when it's meat, the words in Shochadavich are Nikar or Isur. Nikar or Isur. Say that thousands of times when you study Talmudus. Nikar is the first, it's elementary. It's Aleph-based and Hilchos Talmudus. There's no bittul. That's the question which Tosfos asks on Rashi. How could you speak of bittul in such a case where there is no tarovus? So that suffice it to know that Tosfos is kasha attacking Rashi's terminology. All right, Rabotan, we'll stop here and we'll continue next Shabbat.
Or the concept.
That's his new kasha. Lahai pinusha. The ain daimish is chasasach. Kasha. Keeping the ain murav. The nikol kolecha bifnei atzma. That's his kasha.